It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to Adventist World Radio. This is the first of the 3 hours we have together with me, Naye Lupondora. Thank you very much to Gundo Rabingan, who is here. Now she'll be back, I trust, tomorrow as she gives us the mid-morning empowerment as per usual. Thank you very much once again for tuning in. I really appreciate you making us your midday listening experience. I do hope that all the things that I'm learning, you're learning as well. I do hope that all the experiences you're going through live in real time are just as edified by you listening to the program every day you tune in to Adventist World Radio's Live with me, Naye Lupondwana. It's time for us now to get into our conversations, as we tend to do here on the program. And these conversations, might I add, they are meant, I think I need to say this over and over again, they are meant to help us understand. We may not agree, but we just could understand. That's why we have Pastor Justice Mdukura, who's going to be answering our questions, or who answers our questions for this week for our feature, Ask a Pastor. And if you're one of those people who would like your question answered, we would love to invite you. Please come through and let's talk, and let's engage. Let's learn from the pastors, rather, not with the pastors, but from the pastors. We're learning from them. They're teaching us, right? And with the hope that after we have learned all these, we'll become better people. So our question for today: are countries which are more religious tend to be less economically developed? I think that's supposed to be a why more than are. I think it's supposed to be, why do countries which are more religious tend to be less economically developed? Now, I do want to respect the fact that the person wrote is, the question, it says are, but I'm assuming the person meant to say why. Why are countries which are more religious tend to be less economically developed? Why do they tend to be like that? And well, I suppose that would apply mainly to Christian countries, because Arabic countries which are Muslim oriented, they tend to be rich. Hindu countries, perhaps they too, they tend to find themselves in that poverty trap. But Muslims and Jews tend to be rich. Christians, on the other hand, tend not to be as developed. I'm talking about the countries now, and that's our question for today. Joining me now, as per usual, is Pastor Justice Mdukura, talking to us about just that. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon, listeners, wherever you are. It's a pleasure to have you on this channel. God bless you. God be with you, as we'll be discussing.
Thank you very much.
Important question.
So our question for today: why do countries which are more religious tend to be less economically developed?
Okay, maybe let me start off by a disclaimer on this one. Abundance or poverty are not a measure of our spirituality or our spiritual life. They are not a measure of a good relationship with God, nor a bad relationship with God. So, coming straight to our question, it seems it's true that countries or nations that are religious in the Christian sense, they tend to be less economic. Maybe let me start off by saying it is because we are in a great controversy. Like I have put across there a disclaimer. We have seen in the Bible, we had rich people like Job, Abraham. Those guys were filthy rich. They had a good relationship with God. We have also seen that they were poor people who had a good relationship with God. For instance, we have seen Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were poor, but God saw it fit to give them Jesus to take care of the Savior of mankind. So as we put the two paradox together there, you can clearly see that being rich does not necessarily mean there were some rich other people who were not religious. There are some poor people. There were some poor people who were not also religious. So we cannot put that as a measure and say, if you are rich, you don't have a good relationship with God. If you are poor, you don't have a good relationship with God. But I like in the book of Proverbs, when we get to the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, there are two things that I've asked of the Lord, that I should not be poor, neither be rich, very rich, so that when I reach, I forget who God is, or when I am poor, I steal and put God's name to repute. So you can see there that the Bible is not saying, for us to be rich, then that means we have a good relationship with God. For us to be poor, then that means we have a bad relationship with God. The examples, there are many of them that we can cite in the Bible. But when we get to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6, the Bible says that contentness in godliness is maybe let me get to the scripture straight away so that I can read it. It says chapter 6, verses 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So I want to say, even when Jesus was here on earth, he was confronted by people saying they wanted him to be a political leader. They wanted to put him by force to be a political leader, but he denied. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. So that's my submission there, my brother.
Okay, let's go back, Mfundisi. Let's talk about God's promise. God promised that I will make you heads and not tails. You will be lenders and not loaners.
Yes.
So surely that the riches and wealth are a measure of God's blessings on you.
Yeah, I will deny that. You remember chapter 14, Mark, Jesus said in Bethany when he was invited by Simon the leper to have a banquet at his house. It happened that there was this woman who came and broke the alabaster box. And when the disciples and many other were in the room, when they saw that, they condemned the act of the woman. They said, this waste, we could have given it to the poor. And Jesus said, you have the poor always. And I also want to tell you that even Jesus' parents, earthly parents, they died. They died poor. They were not rich. Of course, God is us that He will not make us tail. He will not make us the least of all the people. He will bless us. Blessings does not mean we have to be rich. That's my submission there.
Okay, perhaps we should read the text that I'm referring to, Mfundisi, because the issue is on Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse
30. Chapter
28. No, 28.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 28, yes.
Yeah. So I want to read it to people so people know exactly what it is that I'm talking about, and then after that we can get into it, because it's most important for us to understand what it is that is the bone of contention, so to speak. Is that okay, Mfundisi?
Yeah, it's okay. Let's read it.
All right. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. So from the very first, from the very word go, Mfundis, you realize that there is a condition there. People who are supposed to be blessed in the way that's going to follow are people who are following the words of God. Huh? They are obeying. Mm-hmm. The verse 2 says, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Now, here are the blessings. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the mm-hmm. country.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, mm-hmm. and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you mm-hmm. from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to the many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left. Follow other gods and serving them. So
okay.
Those are the blessings, Funis, that seem to follow people who are supposed to be obeying God. But apparently, Christians who are alleged to be following God are not blessed. They are poor. Their countries are not economically developed. I mean, in sub-Saharan Africa alone, we form the majority of Africa's religious community that is Christian. Right at the equator and north of the equator, we find a mixture of Christians and Muslims. And then right there at the top, above the Sahara, you find Muslims. But we Christians, we find churches in every other corner, but we are poor. Our countries are not developed. And that's the person's question. Why does it appear to be that way?
All right. Maybe let me define the word blessing.
I don't want us to even define it, because as far as Deuteronomy 28, it has explained what God means by blessing. God he doesn't mince his words when he says, "I'm going to bless you." He articulates the avenues that will demonstrate a blessing. So a definition is not going to help in this regard.
All right. Maybe let me first ask you a question.
Right.
So that I would define the word as I'll be answering your question.
Okay.
Right. We have seen in the Bible.
Right.
The parents of Jesus.
Right.
They were poor. Do you agree?
Right. I agree. No, they were not poor, Pastor. The Bible doesn't say they were poor, because we are told that Joseph was a carpenter. So he had a means of income. Poverty implies no means of income.
All right. I'll draw you to this narrative.
Okay.
When in the Old Testament times,
right,
when someone was going to was going to give a sacrifice to the Lord, if he was poor, he was going to bring a dove or a pigeon,
right,
as a sacrifice to the Lord,
right.
And we are even told that when Jesus was born, he was born in a manger,
right.
And when the man came to see the baby Jesus,
right,
they saw him raised in a manger,
right.
And the Jesus, with that narrative, we can deduce that Jesus was not from a rich family.
That would be a very incorrect way of looking at it, because him ending up at the manger was not because they could not afford the inn. The Bible says they went to the inn, and the Bible says there was no room. So they had money to go to the inn. Like everybody else who had money to go to a hotel, they did have the money to go to a hotel. But there was no room. The Bible says there was no room. It doesn't say they didn't have any money.
Yes. I want to draw you to this one. When they gave the sacrifice.
Right. Who gave the sacrifice, Pastor?
The parents of Jesus to the temple. It was not a sheep.
Take us to the verse you're talking about, Pastor.
All right, let me get there. But once I'm getting there, I want to point to you that even Jesus himself, when he was here, he says, even the fox, they have dens, but the Son of Man does not have where to lay his head.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. What does that imply to you?
It means he was a fugitive. He was running away from the authorities at the time. They wanted to kill him, remember? So he didn't stay in one place, if you remember, Pastor. He would leave from Bethlehem. He'd go to Jerusalem. He'd go to different places. He didn't have a place in all places. He did have a home. He had a mother. He had his brothers. He did have a home. He had a place of his own. But when he was moving from place to place, he didn't always have a place to place. And people didn't always welcome him. He was not homeless. Jesus was not homeless. He did have a home. He did have his mother and his father. So he was not poverty stricken at all.
What that statement implies, my leader, is that Jesus was nowhere. We could not say he was rich.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
No, he was not rich at all. Absolutely correct. Yes.
Thank you so very much. Yeah. Then this is why I wanted to define for you the word blessing, what is actually saying from the text that you've just read for us.
Why would we be defining that, Mfundis? Because it is very clear. We know what that means. What would be the benefit of defining it again?
I want you to there are some. I want you to take the glimpse of what the word implies to say than what people claim that this word is saying. Yeah. Because when people say you'll be blessed, you'll be blessed, they think blessing is having abundance of things.
Well, it does mean that, Munis. That's exactly what it means. That's what the Bible says. Blessing. Any other definition would be straying from what the Bible has described as a blessing.
I want to help there by bringing in the original languages in which the Bible was written in defining the word. The word blessing, so that it will help us on this subject.
Okay, so go ahead, Mfundisi, I'm listening.
All right, so when you get to the book of Numbers chapter 6, God is talking about the issue of blessings here.
Right.
I want you to listen to verse 27. Maybe I'll start off with verse 22 quickly. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his son, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be great.
Right.
gracious to you.
Right.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Verse 27. So they shout my name on the children and I will bless them. Okay. So this way, when we come to Greek, it is Makarios. When it comes to Hebrew, it is Barak. What it means, this word, is when God says, "I'll put my name on them, then they will be blessed." Number one, it means worship. When someone is worshiping, God is blessed.
Forgive
when
me.
Someone knows the Lord.
Sorry, Mfundisi. I'm trying to follow you here on my verse also. You said it's Numbers chapter 6, verse?
From 22 to 27, I want you.
Where do we get the word blessing that you're referring to? In which verse does the word bless lie?
Verse 27. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them.
Okay. All right. All right. Yes. Go ahead, Mfundisi.
Okay, so here, when God put his name upon a nation, upon a people, the Bible is saying these people are blessed. And the other word that is equivalent there is worship. The other word that is equivalent there is also understanding.
But that would not apply there in the Numbers context, Mfundisi. Worship does not apply in that context.
Okay, just allow me to finish, then I'll come to that. So the Bible here is saying, when you get to the verse that you have just read for us there, the way I understand chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, it's not when one is blessed, he is not a head, he is not a tail. God has made him a head, the head, and this somebody is not lacking.
Sorry, Pastor. I think our line is deteriorating there. I don't know whether you're moving away from your device or you're using speaker. I don't know, but our line is cracking there. We'd like to hear you clearly as you speak. Are you able to do something about that?
Maybe just give me 2 minutes so that I change my position. Maybe my network is not good here.
Okay, I'm afraid that we're running out of time for this. With 7 minutes, or if we can just do that quickly. All right, go ahead. Try and move around from this so that we can be able to hear what you're saying. So we're in conversation with Pastor Mutukura, who's helping us understand the nuances of what the person was asking. The person was asking a very simple question. Why do countries which are more religious tend to be less economically developed? And you might understand, perhaps that's why we're trying to understand God's blessings don't appear in these less economically developed countries. And that's why we're engaged in a conversation about blessings, because it appears as though these countries are not blessed. And the pastor is saying, actually, they are blessed, because riches does not mean blessed. That's what the pastor has been saying. That's for us to use riches as a measure of blessing, it's incorrect. The pastor is saying we are mistaken to then say, if you are not rich, that means you are not blessed. So my counter-argument was to offer Deuteronomy 28, which says, I will bless you in these ways, X, Y, and Z. And those ways are the ways in which God demonstrates his blessing upon us. But then again, that's what the pastor was talking to us about up until I asked that he be clear so that we can hear his argument on the matter. And now I'm hoping we'll be able to reach the pastor. Our time is up. We've given him 2 minutes, but the line is dropped entirely. Okay, the line has just dropped. It's gone. Okay. I was hoping we wouldn't have to add another conversation to the list of conversations we're going to have with Pastor Mutukura. We have a lot we have to engage with the pastor on already. Now we seem to be adding yet another issue because we have not exhausted it. All right. Since the line is not playing ball with us, so allow me to just leave it on that note.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.